Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about on this show. We talk about strategies and tools and blueprints. I share stories. I talk about some of the epic mistakes I've made along the way, all with this goal of thinking about what it means to empower our students with voice and choice. And we're actually going to be exploring this idea of empowering students with voice and choice in the area of reading. Now, if you're not a reading teacher, these might not apply as much to you, but to be honest, I think everyone teaches reading, so hopefully you'll stick around for this series. It's not necessarily just ELA teachers, but that is the primary focus. The other thing that I'll say is I tend to have very broad topics on this podcast, but right now it really is aimed more at teachers who teach, you know, anywhere from grades 4 to 12. So this is not getting into phonics or early elementary literacy. It's just this idea of what it means to empower students. And before we get started, I want to tell you about something that I'm super excited about. I partnered with Bonnie Hamer. She is a literacy expert. You may have known, we've created some resources together in the past. She has amazing practical resources that she does. And she's a former English language arts teacher at the high school level. And we put together a self-paced course. Now, it is 10 lessons. How it works is there's some introductory text. There's a video that's anywhere from 15 to 25 minutes. There's an assignment that goes with it, some optional resources that you can check out, and then a discussion question. So it's interactive. There's a discussion, a community that you can be a part of, but it's also self-paced. It's something that you can do on your own. The good news is you can do this at whatever pace you want. You can purchase it now and then take it 6 months from now. You can get it now and get it done this week. You can do this with a group of fellow teachers and work through it together. And so you can check it out. If you go to spencerauthor.com, you'll notice on the blog post that corresponds to this podcast, there's information about it. Also, if you click on the courses tab, you'll see it there as well. So go check it out. I'm super stoked about it. Does anyone say the word stoked? That's clearly I've outed myself as a child of the 80s. But anyway, go check it out. I think you'll find that it is practical and the resources are great that go with it. And it's all focused on this idea of how we engage reluctant readers by empowering them. And that is actually the topic of today's episode. So let's take a dive right in. I'm going to start with a story. The eighth grade students stood in line, whispering to one another and fidgeting in excitement. A few of them had peeked into the windows to see what was new. One student had a tiny notebook with a list. Most of the students had pulled out their phones and they were checking key information. There was a buzz in the air and a general sense of excitement that permeated the air. But this wasn't a concert, or a line to buy a smartphone, or even an assembly or a sporting event. This was the first library day of the school year. Although I wasn't sure what to expect, I couldn't have even imagined that I would see what I would end up seeing. Before we walked in, a boy looked at me and asked, "What are you going to get?" "Oh, I already have a book I'm reading," I answered. He shook his head. "Nah, Spencer, you're gonna get something. Everyone leaves with at least two books. You should know the rules." "Is that a rule?" I asked. He laughed at the ridiculousness of the question. And then right then, at that moment, the librarian opened the door and the students streamed in. Loudly. Not quietly, not orderly, nothing like that. They jumped from display to display, reading the backs of book covers and debating books with one another. And our librarian seemed to embrace the noise and the chaos as she called out specific books and named specific kids and just said, "Hey, you should check this out." Some of them had been checking out books all summer long, but she had built up suspense with these release dates of the books that would be there on the first week of school. Now, honestly, the cynical side of me would have scoffed at the middle school students getting this excited about books. After all, there is a cultural perception that reading is inherently, well, uncool. As a child of the 80s, I always cringed a little bit at those read books from the Ad Council. You know, the ones where like Mr. T or Michael J. Fox or the dude from MacGyver stand there holding a book and in big red letters behind you, there's the read in all caps in some kind of serif font. And I always felt like those read posters backfired. It was like the Ad Council was trying too hard by advertising reading. After all, we didn't need signs for playing or goofing off. This was saying, you should read because it's good for you. It wasn't saying, you should read because it's good. Whether it's good for you or not, it's just good. It's fun. But whatever cynicism that I had felt in the beginning began to melt as I watched the sincerity of my students. They were pulling out their phones and reading the QR codes to get book reviews. They debated the merits of various series and on occasion even mocked each other for their choices of books. And that's something I would have to address in our first class meeting. The library was like a candy store for the mind. And my students were beyond excited to be there. At one point, the librarian called students to an open space and reminded them of some of the strategies for finding the right book. She talked about reading sample pages, checking out the synopsis on the back of the books, checking 3-star Amazon reviews, which she pointed out often give you the most measured review of the pros and cons of a text. And she even told us that it's okay to look at the book covers, that actually maybe we should judge a book by its cover because the book covers tell you a lot about the book and who is the intended audience. Now, this library experience defied the stereotypes of the stodgy, quiet library. But here's the thing. I'd argue that many school libraries have a similar environment because librarians as a whole are finding innovative ways to get students excited about reading. Looking back at it, our school librarian was a leader of an empowered community. She was a true expert in reading and curation and media literacy and library science. But she never presented herself as the sole expert or the gatekeeper. Instead, she built relationships with students and worked with them to help find texts that would connect with their interests. And as a true curator, she read a broad variety of books and constantly explored new authors and genres with hopes of helping students fall in love with reading and with the hopes of getting them to engage in a deeper, meaningful dialogue with the text. She was more than that. She was a master architect who designed systems that would empower students. She launched a buddy reader program with my 8th graders where they would read to the 1st graders. And at first, they were kind of scared of the 1st graders. And the 1st graders were definitely scared of them. But it turned out to be absolutely epic. She coordinated some author visits and worked with teams of students to do book talks and book preview videos. In other words, she helped design the ecosystem of reading that would allow me as a teacher to build a classroom culture of empowered readers. And I think that just goes to show you that librarians are more important, more vital now than ever before. And I point this out because the real challenge isn't simply engagement. See, we want students to fall in love with reading. We want them to get lost in a fictional world where they are so into the story that they tune out everything else. We want them to wrestle with really hard themes and expand their worldview and push their thinking. We want them to fall in love with characters who are different from them, and in the process to become more empathetic toward others. But we also want students to see themselves in literature. More than anything else, we want students to become passionate, lifelong readers. It's not about a test score or a reading level. It's about a lifelong journey as a reader. But not every student arrives to our classrooms loving reading. Whether you're a language arts teacher or a supporting content teacher, you've probably met students who say those dreaded three words, "I hate reading." Now, this can feel disheartening when we see a reluctant reader. For what it's worth, I don't actually like the term reluctant reader. I know this sounds strange, but I prefer reading reluctantly because it focuses the language on the action and not the person. A student who reads reluctantly can at some point become fully engaged in the process if they can just find the right reading. But how do you engage that student who doesn't seem to want to read? The reality is that engagement alone is not enough. Sometimes the issue is past trauma and experiences with reading. Often it's an issue of self-definition and identity. But it can also be something different. It can be a lack of self-direction and ownership. It can be a lack of buy-in. Now, there's a continuum that I created back when I wrote the book Empower. And it's a continuum of student agency going from compliance to empowerment. And on the left side of the continuum you have, if you can picture this, you have a teacher-centered approach with less student agency or control in the learning. And then you move toward more student control on the right-hand side. And on the far left-hand side, you have compliance. The compliant reader simply reads because, well, they have to read. The engaged reader in the middle is reading because it's interesting. They find it something worth doing. But the empowered reader is choosing to read out of a deeper sense of ownership. Typically, schools focus time and attention on student engagement with the driving question, how do I get a reluctant reader to get interested in reading? And I think that that is important. It is a great first step, but it only addresses part of the problem. If we want students to become independent, self-directed readers, we need to move into a place of student empowerment. Now, there are a lot of ways to do this. And I created a sketch video, if you want to check it out, on this shift from engagement to empowerment. But it's the idea of giving students as much freedom as possible, giving them as much ownership in the process as possible. And I want to point out that this is not a new thing. For decades, teachers have embraced independent reading time with initiatives like DARE, Drop Everything and Read, or SSR, Sustain Silent Reading, or IFART, Independent Focused Attention on Reading Time. Okay, that's actually not true. There is no independent focused attention reading time. I totally made that up because I have a juvenile sense of humor. But for years, teachers have found ways to give students voice and choice in their reading. As a student, I loved SSR. It always felt like we were cheating somehow and not really, quote, doing school because I didn't have to complete any assignments and I just read silently, like for fun. But student empowerment goes beyond choice in the texts themselves. It also involves student ownership of the reading process. It's what happens when students ask their own questions and make their own arguments. It involves letting students choose which reading strategies work best for them and helping them identify which scaffolds they'll need. It might involve something like letting kids read graphic novels or allowing them to listen to the text via audiobook if that's what's working best to keep their attention. An empowered reader has an opportunity to create meaningful book reviews, engage in dynamic book talks, participate in self-directed book clubs, and write their own fan fiction. All of those are examples of empowering readers. Now, I want to point out something. Compliance and engagement both have a necessary role in reading. There are times when students read something that they might not initially enjoy, but in the process, it exposes them to new ideas and it broadens their worldview. Student agency is critical, but there is value in learning to be humble as a reader and reading something that you might not necessarily initially find all that engaging. I remember falling in love with the book Invisible Man after a teacher chose it as a novel read aloud. And I'm telling you, that book expanded my worldview and gave me new perspectives that I never considered. And it led me on to a path of a bunch of different books I never would have read if we hadn't read it together as a class. And I also want to point out that by reading it together as a class, we had multiple layers of interpretation and engaged in powerful, critical conversations. And yet, even in these moments, when students don't have voice and choice in what they're reading, we can still provide voice and choice in how they read. We can find ways to design lesson plans and classroom systems that empower students with voice and choice, even in the moments when they might not be selecting the reading material themselves. And that's part of why we're doing this series on empowering readers. So right now, I want to share 8 ways that you can empower readers in the first weeks of school. The start of the school year provides a great opportunity to get students excited about reading. You can do this in a way that builds on student agency and provides meaningful voice and choice for students. Here are 8 ways to make it happen. Number 1, have students complete an interest survey or inventory. This can be a simple Google form of their favorite books, least favorite books, author pet peeves, and other reading-related preference questions. You can also ask them questions about their interests and use that to help figure out what books they might be into. Now, this allows you to gather data on student reading trends. You can find out, for example, how many minutes per week your students have been reading. You can also check out what books in general seem to be more popular and which series, you know, students are binge reading. But it also signals to the students that you care about their reading practices and their geeky interests and their big ideas. It's a get-to-know-you activity directly related to the content area. This might even be something that students complete during Meet the Teacher night. Number 2, do a book show and tell. Here you can ask students to bring their favorite book. Let them know that it doesn't have to be recent. It can be a favorite picture book from their early childhood. And if they don't have a favorite book, that's okay. You can have them pick out a book from the classroom library, and then they can talk about why they would choose it and why it piques their interest. The goal here is not a book report, and it's not even a book review. It's a simple book talk, where students offer a recommendation based on things like whether they found the plot interesting or whether they liked the characters or if they enjoyed the author's use of language. This process empowers readers because it's centered on their personal experiences as readers. You might even invite guests from the community to share their favorite books. It's a chance to show students that being a reader isn't confined to the ELA classroom. Have other staff members or community members come in and give short, informal book talks about their favorite texts. This could be a custodian or a school nurse, principal, science teacher, sports coach, local politician, business owner. You get the idea. This has the added bonus of breaking stereotypes students might have about who is and who isn't a reader. For example, if the football coach or the baseball coach gets up and talks about, you know, the spy novel that they read this summer, it defies the stereotype that jocks don't read. And that can be really powerful. Number three, empower students to help create the classroom library. Instead of setting up your entire classroom library, you can have your students plan and set up and organize your library for you. You can have plenty of books there ahead of time, but the idea here is to get students working in groups to create the organizational system or to design the book displays that will draw students' attention. This has the added benefit of helping students learn about the different genres while gaining awareness of what books they have access to in your classroom. And it's also a fun way to get them exploring your classroom library and reading the blurbs on the backs of the book. Number four, create spaces where students can celebrate reading. This might start off with something like a door display with a curation of books that they might want to read. However, you can also have spaces where students display books with short book blurbs recommending the book. You can use a QR code generator that sends students to a site when they hover over the QR code. And that has the information about the book, reviews about the book, the average star rating, and you can just house that on a single blog, right? It can be a blog post with the book review information, and the QR code is just there for them. So, you know, the idea is to get students to celebrate reading and to see that it's just something that we do. Number five, empower students in goal setting. On an individual level, you can have students set goals for the number of hours or minutes they read. It could be their fluency scores if you really want it to be. You can also create whole class goals using things like reading chains, paper loops that connect when they've read a certain number of pages as a class or when they've finished a book as a class. I've seen ones where there's like a cardboard, not a cardboard, but like a paper library, and they make their own book jackets that they add every time they've finished a book. You can do progress bars and other visual celebrations of reading. And the goal is to make this non-competitive. It's not a reward for reading, and it's not a competition, but it is a celebration of reading and saying, this is what we do, and we are excited about it. Number six, create a period where students can explore as many books as possible. When Bonnie Hamer taught high school English, she would do speed dating books activities. And they would rotate around with various books, kind of doing an inside-outside circle activity. And it got them to think about what books they wanted to read. Another option might be to do a classroom library scavenger hunt. But whatever it is that you're doing, the goal is to help students figure out which books are interesting to them. And again, so what you're doing is you're giving them this exploratory period rather than just saying, I expect you to engage in silent reading, or I expect you to bring a book to class, or I expect you to read the whole class novel. You're allowing them to explore and develop their tastes as readers. Number seven, provide scaffolds for students and teach them how to self-select the scaffolds on their own. The goal here is to take a universal design for learning approach where all the tutorials and supports are available to all students. This reduces the stigma attached with needing additional supports while also empowering students to find the resources that they need. And then number eight, launch a first chapter Friday. Here you read a portion of the first chapter of a novel and you do a quick book talk to pique their interests. The goal is to expose them to diverse authors, genres, and texts. So those are the eight different ideas. Now, I want to point out that this is by no means an exhaustive list. You might have done some of your own activities that worked really well in getting students to own the reading process. And I would actually love if you would share some of those ideas in the comment section. But I want to go back to one last thing. The vital role of the school librarian in this entire process. At the start of this blog post, I wrote about a librarian who empowered my students with voice and choice in reading. I truly believe that any conversation about empowered readers has to begin with a recognition that librarians are a critical part of this process. A few years ago, I actually created a sketch video that just barely scratches the surface of all the ways that librarians make a difference. And I just want to point out that librarians make a huge difference. They are the architects who design the systems that empower the readers. And so my final thought here is that as teachers, we need to lean on librarians for support in fostering a love of literacy. They can help us find texts for students who are reading reluctantly. They can provide key insights for us in curating our own classroom libraries. We can partner with librarians in creating events and book fairs and author talks. They can give us feedback on our own book review projects. And we might even partner with them in doing mini lessons on things like how to find the right book. And, you know, at the start of the school year, we may want to do something like a scavenger hunt in the library and help students see that the library really isn't like a candy shop at all. It's way more awesome. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? Would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.